It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
the Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Just sell and just fire everybody. No, we're not selling anybody. We're not firing anybody today. No, baby. Oh, the Giants must have lost yesterday, 3-2. I was watching other things last night on the tube. Giants lost 3-2. I'm not going to lie. I watched the bottom of the ninth inning. That's all I needed to see. Told the whole story. The biggest thing out of the Giants. We're going to get to Niners. Good morning to everybody out there. It's a Wednesday, man. A walking back Wednesday. Can't wait to do that. What are we walking back today? Is it another Trey Lance video? What are we walking back today? We'll get into that. Bo Bell, Farhan, are they extended through 2026 or 2025? No idea what's going on with them. But good morning to everybody out there getting out their graveyard shift, man. Niners win 32-19 on Monday night. We're going to slowly turn the page on the Minnesota Vikings. We'll really dive into them tomorrow with Brian Flores' defense and Kevin O'Connell and what they got going on offensively with Sam Darnold and Justin Jefferson. We'll turn the page on the Jets, but we'll recap it today with Baldy, who'll join us at 8 o'clock. Good morning to everybody out there get off your graveyard shift. If you're at work, what is happening? All the overnight dancers, hopefully they made a killing Monday night down there in the South Bay. It was booming.
Yay!
It was booming down there. Shasky, what up, man? What's going on? You got Giants gear on today. I'm shocked.
Well, I mean, you know, running out of Niner clothes, so I had to go to the Giants gear today.
I go U.S. Open, man.
I am rooting against the Giants. You know, I was looking at the Giants last night, and it had me thinking about the 49ers, and it had me also thinking about the Golden State Warriors. I believe that the best organizations in sports, they don't just sustain because of one player or one coach. They sustain because they have influx of talent that's coming in. And sometimes it's year to year.
Yep.
Sometimes it's over a multi-year period. But think about the best organizations and the best teams. The Golden State Warrior team. Think about the 2015 team. And think about how uniquely different the 2022 championship was. We're talking about two dramatically different rosters. The finances were different, but they found a lot of different players via draft, free agency, trades, etc. And they kept it rolling. Exception. When I think about the gold standard, and football's different because you get so many draft picks and the roster can turn over because of the non-guaranteed contracts. But the gold standard is probably New England, right? Over the last 20, 25 years. The Niners were one of those teams as well. But I would say the Niners were different back in the 80s because no salary cap. So you could hang on to a Steve Young and have him be your backup for many years, right? It's just different. The Astros. When I look at the Astros, the two championships they've won, and we could lose our face about how, you know, they cheated, but the 2017 team is very different from the more current championship team, right? Yankees, too, when they won the championship in the 90s versus the one that won their final championship in the 2000s. Very, very different. The 49ers, and I've said this five or six times, 2019, the only returning players on the team right now from that Super Bowl team, Wisnowski, Bosa, Warner, Debo, Kittle, Juice.
They're all that same draft.
No, but they were all on that team. That I'm just going on that team.
On that team.
They were
okay,
on that team.
Gotcha.
Wisnowski, Bosa, Warner, Debo, Kittle, Juice. Now, that's a long time. I mean, 2019 might as well be forever ago.
In football years, in the NFL, with all the roster turnover, it's a year-to-year league. It's rare that you get about five guys who are on the team 5 years from now. I would be eager to know how many guys on the Philadelphia Eagles remain from that Super Bowl team. Is it just Lane Johnson? I mean, there can't be too many guys on that team that was on that Super Bowl team that's currently on the Philadelphia Eagles.
Absolutely. I mean, and you're 100% correct. I'm looking at the Niners. Forget the Eagles. From the Niners, week one in Chicago, 2022. Let me read some of these names that are either not on the team or not producing at all. Trey Lance, Elijah Mitchell, Jeff Wilson, Ray McLeod, Ross Dwelly, Tyler Croft. These were guys on offense who had a touch.
Yeah.
Defense, guys who had a tackle. Ebukam, Al-Shaair, Tashaun Gibson, Hassan Ridgeway, Eric Armstead, Trake Jackson, Emmanuel Mosley, Tarvarius Moore, Ambry Thomas. And then Robbie Gould was kicking field goals.
Right.
You're looking at 17 different people making contributions just 2 years ago.
Yep.
2 years ago. And B, I'm looking at this team yesterday, and I was thinking hard about this. Like, oh, when they pay Brock, you know, every million. And yes, it does matter how much you pay someone. We're looking at what's going on in Cleveland, and there's a like $175 million dead cap hit if they cut Deshaun Watson. It does matter finances. But if you believe in Shanahan like I do, and you believe in Lynch, even if they overpay by a couple million dollars for a guy here and there, they can overcome it. Because listen to who made contributions from the last few drafts. D'Amino Lenore, Tig Brown, Dominic Pooney, Jordan Mason, Aaron Banks, McKivitz, Jennings, Robert Beal Jr., Isaac Garendo had touches. Jalen Moore was out there at the end of the game. Burford was out there. And you had a young man in Cowens returning kicks, while another guy in Jake Moody was kicking field goals. That's just from the drafts the last couple of years. Free agency, listen to how they've turned the roster over. Hargrave, Malik Collins, Leonard Floyd, Jake Brendel was a free agent, Rocky Sim, Isaac Yidem, DeAndre Campbell, Jordan Elliott, Saubert. Bonte, I'm looking at like 25 guys in just the last couple of years that they've turned the roster over who made huge contributions just 2 years later. 2 years later. They replenish talent as well as any team in sports right now.
All the sports.
I didn't even mention the quarterback, for crying out loud, Brock Purdy.
Drake Greenlaw as well is up into that point. He'll be back at some point this season. No, they've done a great job. And that's and that's not to mention they've had a lot of misses. I mean, you look at the 2021 draft or the 2022 draft. The only guy left, Spencer Burford, Brock Purdy. Two guys. You know what I'm saying? So they've whiffed on a lot of draft. 2021. Who's left from that roster?
Talanoa Hufanga.
Hufanga. Lenore. Jalen Moore still here. Aaron Banks. Trey Sermon's gone. Trey Lance is gone. Avery Thomas is on the way out. Elijah Mitchell's on IR. Then you look at the year before. Colton McKivitz is here. Brendan Ayuk is here. Kinlaw's gone. But then you take a guy in the seventh round of Juwan Jennings. And so, when you think about the great teams in the NFL, and this goes back, it's not just with the Niners right now. While the Patriots were in the Super Bowls, Philadelphia did a great job of replenishing talent. Kansas City does a great job of replenishing talent. The Saints had drafted really, really well. And that's the difference in today's salary cap league. And it's been the case for the last 20 to 25 years when it comes to the salary cap. You have to either hit on a couple picks in each class, you have to have a knockout free agency signing, and you have to have good health. You have to have good health while you keep your premium players together. That's the key. Can your premium players continue to play at a high, high level? Once your premium players start to decrease a little bit in terms of, or depreciate in terms of their production, then that's when you have an issue. But this bodes well for the Niners because their premium players are still playing at a premium level. If Fred Warner, George Kittle, Deebo and company.
Don't you think that the Harbaugh era, there was a variety of things that brought it down, right? A variety. But I think that, like, top of the list, they stopped drafting and developing well.
Yeah, that had a lot to do with it, but also Patrick Willis got hurt.
Yeah.
Navarro Bowman was hurt. Crabtree, big-time injury, right? Bolden getting up there in age. Anthony Davis basically walked away from the roster. You know, Mike Iupati got hurt. Jonathan Goodwin moved on.
But hasn't this team had injuries?
Yeah, they have, but the premium players, when you got your stalwarts, your all-pro blue-chip players, like right now we're going to find out about the 49ers, how long they could function without Christian McCaffrey. I think they do a good job, something we'll get into a little bit later. But Fred Warner's still there, playing at a high level. George Kittle's still playing at a high level. We saw just last year, in three games, two premium players went down, and it was 17-17-17 with Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel. So this all works well. You're right. Replenishing talent. They've got a lot of guys who drafted really well in the middle rounds. But it works really well when the premium players continue to be on the field. And now that the premium players, like you look at those Patriot teams, the premium players were on the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady, Gronk, Edelman. Now, they had their nicks and bruises, and Gronk was always on the injury report. But their premium players, as long as they stay healthy, your blue-chip players, then everything else fits in. And all of a sudden, you're like, yeah, we can replenish this talent because we're not expecting this guy to be an all-pro. But once you start losing all-pro players to injuries, then you're thinking to yourself, boy, we got problems. And I think that was, you're right. They didn't draft well at all.
At all.
Those last couple years on Harbaugh, they didn't draft well at all. But also the premium players broke down.
No, that's a good point. I don't know, man. I'm looking at it, and I say to myself, like, I think we've underrated how good they are at finding talent. You're going to miss. Like, look.
It's undeniable, yeah.
I look at Pearsall, right? I don't know if Pearsall's good, bad, whatever. We'll find out. I can already tell you right now this draft that they had. If Dominic Pooney, let's just say hypothetically, is the only guy that comes out of this draft as a pop, do you know how many teams would die to have a day one plug-and-play starter who's already a B to B-plus player?
Yep. Yep.
And no, I don't mean B to B plus on his own draft class. I'm talking B to B plus across league. Like, he came in right away, and Shanahan loves him so much, they said, we're running to the right side for the first time in a millennium. Right?
No, he's legit.
I mean,
he's
so
legit.
I'm looking at this B, and I'm saying to myself, like, look, I don't even think Hargrave's been that great of a signing. Like, I really don't. But they've been able to offset it because they found a guy in, like, Malik Collins, for example.
True trades.
It's a great move.
Charles Amendola, who we were discussing yesterday.
He was good.
We were like, wow, this guy. What about Jordan Willis, who had the big block in the playoff game at Green Bay? They will find a little subtle move here with a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick or a sixth-round pick, and I don't think anybody works the entire draft like the Niners. There's something about drafting first- and second-round players, and guys may hit on them, but they're draft picks. Like, Juwan Jennings is automatic as a third wide receiver. He's a seventh-round pick. Seventh-round pick. Jordan Mason, who just had a career high, was an undrafted free agent and looked like one of the best backs in all of football this past week.
But he was the backup to Jahmyr Gibbs at Georgia Tech. It's crazy.
Right.
And I say all this as I wrap this all in a big bow, and I want to stay on the Niners, but I do want to get back to the original. You brought up the Giants. Why are the Giants where they're at? It's because they can't replenish the talent.
Yep.
What got Sabian to where he was at the end of his run? They couldn't replenish the talent. And talent was going out the door in trades, and you brought back guys who were at the end of their ropes. And to your point about older players.
Premium talent.
The premium talent turned into not premium anymore.
Yeah, they weren't
anymore.
Premium anymore. No, right? You had to go to the 87 gas and not the 91, right?
Exactly.
Whatever that is, unleaded or whatever it is. I forget the name. I just know 91, 89, 87. If you go to the cheap gas station, you better get 91, which I usually do all the time because, you know, you go to the, not the Arcos of the world, but the no-name gas stations. But, you know what I'm talking about? But no, you, they're premium players. The Giants, to your point, they started Buster Posey. What's it the same? Brandon Belt wasn't the same.
Exactly.
You know, Brandon Crawford wasn't the same. All of a sudden, Madison Bumgarner is leaking a little oil. The bullpen is leaking oil. So as long as you're premium players, and I think that's the most important thing, Debo look like he's going to have a big-time season. Ayuk will come around. Fred Warner looks like he's going to have a big-time season. I mean, Fred Warner set the tone for the entire season. Bosa, you know what? He looked like Nick Bosa.
He did.
He looked good. He looked really good. So the Brock Purdy, how do you look at quarterback?
Brock's a stud.
I mean, he is legit. So as long as your premium players are in place, it's easier to replenish talent that are not premium, right? That's the biggest thing with the Giants. Bring up the Giants again. Their problem is they can't even get a premium player to slot in. Because, like, how good would Mike Yastrzemski, we were talking about Mike Yastrzemski before the show, how good would he look in a different lineup?
So,
say, hypothetically, the Yankees.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, the Dodgers, and he's a seventh hitter. We're thinking, damn, that's a dangerous seven-hole hitter. Damn, Mike Yastrzemski about a seventh in that lineup? Damn, he's got some pop. But on the Giants, when you don't have a lot of premium talent, all of a sudden, you get elevated to a status to where it's like, yeah, we're counting on this guy to be our leader here. He's going to carry a lineup. That's not his job. That's not his role. So first, you got to get premium talent. And it makes it easier with the Warriors and Steph and Dre and Clay. It's like, yeah, we can plug and play around these guys. But what's that premium talent as we saw with the Warriors? Clay wasn't the same. Draymond wasn't on the court. Life was a lot harder for Stephen Curry, and all of a sudden you're on the outside looking in on the NBA playoffs.
And then, like, even if you do miss in the draft or you miss in free agency, it's not highlighted as much when you have premium players.
Yep.
It's you can offset it because of their greatness and whatnot. I look at, like, I go back to Hargrave. They probably overpaid dramatically for Hargrave, right? But nobody really thinks about that snap in, snap out. Because they got Bosa, and he's wreaking havoc. And they got Fred Warner, and he's a stud. And they got Tig Brown in the back of that secondary, and he looks like he's going to be a starter for at least five years, because we know safeties is just tough. And so you can offset that. It's not highlighted as much. When Matt Chapman goes through a three-week stretch where he's not playing well, it feels like the weight of the world is on his shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah, and even when he is playing well, you're struggling to win baseball games.
That's what I'm saying.
So we're going to find out with this whole equation here. When it comes to premium players, the Niners are going to get a test here without Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, it's a huge test.
Because I don't anticipate, you know, driving in, Shasky, I just told myself, I said, whatever Christian McCaffrey gives the 49ers this season is a bonus. Because when you get Achilles attached to a calf injury, I'm not going to lie to you right now. I'm not expecting much from Christian McCaffrey this season. I'm not. I just, maybe that's my mind today. Baldy's been kind of all over Shasky, talking about the 400 touches and that next season. And I'm not expecting much from McCaffrey this year.
So I've been, this is going to sound like I'm crazy, but I've been dealing with Achilles tendonitis for multiple years now, and I'm going to see Dr. Joe. Now, I'm not Christian McCaffrey.
Right.
I don't know the inner workings of his body, blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you this. I've studied the ankle, the foot, and the Achilles, and all of the muscles that are attached for a long, long time. There are muscles that go from the bottom of your feet, plantar fasciitis, people that are dealing with that, and it puts stress on the calf, on the Achilles. It goes all the way up into your hip, okay? There are multiple muscles, the inside and the outside, and all of them are interconnected. And when one of these things has a strain or a difficulty, it puts more and more pressure on everything. And what's very difficult about this injury is that you could feel good one day, one week, whatever. You put a lot of pressure on it. You go out there, you explode, and then you come back, and then all of a sudden it starts flaring up again, right? And so you're never really out of the woods. And this is when I was, and again, I'm not a high level athlete. It's not what I'm saying, but I've understood, because it's a process. There's the buildup process. And then there's also did you wear out the muscle so bad to where it's hanging by a thread?
Well,
those are the realities.
No doubt. And Dre Greenlaw, Achilles tendonitis leading up to the Super Bowl. He couldn't practice during the playoffs, and his Achilles pops by just walking onto the field, trying to play some defense. That's how it can go. Now, you bring up your Achilles, and I know for sure I'm no Christian McCaffrey, but my right Achilles off and on for the last 2 years gets sore. Off and on, whether I do a lot of walking, whether I put a lot of stress on it, and it shoots up to the hip. It can shoot up to the hip, and it gets a little stuffed. Sometimes I wake up, and I've got a little limp with that Achilles, and I'm like, that's why I don't, people laugh and stuff. Like, Jason Dumas just went through rehab with his. Playing, you never know where this thing could go. Dude. It could snap. I was talking to a doctor, maybe Dr. Jaime. I ran into him when I was up there in 1985 gallery. And he was saying, man, you know, guys over 40, they're like a doctor's best friend, because they're coming in with Achilles injuries left and right. So when you think about the sudden movements that Christian McCaffrey has to make on a play-by-play basis, cutting in the hole, cutting out of the hole, running the stretch zone, catching screen passes or whatnot, this is not good for Christian McCaffrey. Now, is it good for the 49ers? We could get into that. 888-957-9570. Can they win without Christian McCaffrey? I think they can win a lot of football games without Christian McCaffrey. But it would be disappointing to not have the reigning Offensive Player of the Year on your roster in 2024 as he deals with this injury. This is not good, folks. We'll play some sound from yesterday. We had some doctors on the airwaves. We'll get to all that coming up here. By the way, shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you'll be flushed, brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. And so to your point about replenishment, how can they replenish the talent? All of a sudden, Isaac Garrido, we're looking at you. We're looking at Keyshawn Vaughn. We're looking at Jordan Mason. We're looking at a lot of these guys here as the Niners try to replenish a premium talent for once in Christian McCaffrey. That's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
What up? This is Big Pump from South City. You are now listening to The Morning Muggy and Rose with my boys Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Big Pun's doing all right. What up, Big Pun? Good morning to all the roasters out there, all the roasters we met last Friday, all the roasters at Levi's Stadium. Monday night, it was a party. It was a party at Levi's as the Niners opened up the season at 1-0. 32-19 win over the New York Jets, and we'll see how good the Jets are. I'm not going to overreact to week one. They may end up being a good football team. You never know. The defense will probably correct itself, and Salah, we all know he needs to win. But our YouTube poll question of the day. Actually, I don't know what happened. Did I close out of it? Our YouTube poll question of the day is, are the 49ers still Super Bowl favorites if they don't have Christian McCaffrey?
I don't know!
If they don't have Christian McCaffrey, what happens to this football team? Real quick, Shasky, Dr. Feely. He joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday, and here's what he said on the Niners call of McCaffrey's injury, or what tendonitis means, excuse me, compared to the calf strain.
In many ways, a calf strain is going to be just as bad, if not worse, than the Achilles tendonitis. It really just depends on the severity of the tendonitis. All it really means is there's inflammation along the tendon, which as a 28 to 30-year-old running back with a lot of mileage, it's kind of expected he's going to get that at some point during his career, if not this year, next year. So I don't think it's a big deal. He's going to get a lot of treatment for it. I think it's important for him to be able to limit his reps during the season. I think we've seen that in the last couple of years. He's somebody that does a great job at a certain number of reps. And then if we have a suitable backup, that's even better.
So limiting his reps, Shasky, this is a guy who doesn't, he wants to take every single rep. And he's a workout warrior. Heard Shanahan talk about, he probably sticking about his footwork walking down the aisle at his old wedding. That's who Christian McCaffrey is. He's a freak. We just had Jerry Rice on yesterday, and God knows how much he worked out in the offseason during practice, running his quick sets all the way to the goal line here. They're going to have to taper back Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey's a tough guy to try to taper back.
Yeah, I just don't think this one's going away anytime soon. It's not good. It's just not good. You know, this is one of the best players in the NFL. But, and here comes the big but, I think they can offset some of his production.
Yep.
And I think if this was last year, given where Jordan Mason was in terms of understanding his role and doing all the little things that Bobby Turner and Kyle needed him to do to be able to be trusted to be on the field, if this was last year without a Pearsall, another year under Jennings' belt, Cowing, Conley another year under his belt, Ronnie Bell looking like he might be able to contribute a little, I would be a little more worried. I think that they have guys that they can use. No one is going to be CMC. Yep. He is a matchup nightmare. He's one of the baddest dudes on the planet. No question about it. But Shanahan's proven, whether it's year one with Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman, the first year of the Super Bowl, excuse
2019.
Me. You know, whether it's, you know, finding Raheem Mostert, whether it's finding Jeff Wilson Jr., making the big deal to go get Christian McCaffrey. Hasn't this man proven through his track record he can find productive running backs? The area that I think is the hardest is in the pass game schematically. Having safeties and linebackers lined up on CMC, that's how you win, right? Those 3-yard checkdowns turning into 7, 8, 9, 10-yard gains, that's going to be difficult.
The other guy that you didn't mention here that I think has gotten better, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, the quarterback. He's gotten better mentally, physically, making all the throws. And I think Brock Purdy put this team in the right position to make plays and running the offense at a high level. That's where you could see some of the production where you talk about yesterday, you know, you want to see him scramble more. Well, maybe you pick up some more of that hidden yardage with his legs to where he's getting you about 25 to 30 yards rushing a game. You know, it doesn't sound like much, but depending on what it is, if you're getting first downs on those runs, on those scrambles, you could help offset the Christian McCaffrey stuff. Jordan Mason, obviously, is running hard, but you're going to have to get one of these guys in the backfield, whether it's Isaac Arendo, Patrick Taylor Jr., Keyshawn Vaughn, whoever it is, Matt Breida, if you re-sign him, you're going to need production from the running back room. And to your point about the passing attack, yeah, that's going to be a big loss, Christian McCaffrey in the pass game. We're talking about a guy you can line up out wide. Talk about a guy you can line up in the slot. He runs all the routes. A lot of people say he runs better routes than anybody on the team, for crying out loud. That includes Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. So, yes, that will be lost. But can you overcome that in the pass game? To your point, yes, they have in the past. And I do believe they can still get to 30-30-30-30-30 without Christian McCaffrey. Just going to have to do it a little bit differently. Maybe they have to lead on the pass a little bit more. Maybe have to lead on Kittle and Deebo and Ayuk a little bit more. But the one guy who has gotten better, which makes me feel confident about them overcoming an absence from Christian McCaffrey, is Brock Purdy. It's the quarterback. If this was Jimmy, we'd be freaking out. If this was Mullins, we'd be freaking out. But it's Brock Purdy, Shasky, and that's why I feel really good about this offense continuing to maintain a high level of play.
Yeah, you know, The Jordan Mason story is an interesting one. I mean, it really is. I went down like the deep dive on him. Like, you know, is this guy for real? Like, I think that's what a lot of Niner fans are asking themselves, right? Because we saw Carlos Hyde bust out onto the scene, and he was a much more heralded prospect coming out. I thought he was going to be really good for the Niners, and that ended up not being the case.
Trey Sermon.
Well, there's been a lot of guys, but
Joe Williams. There's a lot of guys.
I'm not saying this is who he is, but running back does get weird. And I think of like Frank Gore, who we just celebrated. He got buried on the depth chart down at Miami and then had some injuries. And it's like, looking back on it, like, how was he the fifth string running back at Miami? You know, and let me give you another name, because I think maybe a lot of people know the Frank Gore. One of my favorite players of all time is Priest Holmes.
Yeah.
And Priest Holmes' story is a wild one.
Yep.
He goes to the University of Texas, starts early on, gets hurt. And then this guy by the name of Ricky Williams ends up taking his job.
Yep.
He goes as an undrafted free agent to Baltimore, bounces around the league. They've got a bunch of guys, Bam Morris and whatnot, over there. Finds his way to Kansas City, gets his opportunity, and scores like 30 touchdowns in a season. And then he ended up losing his job to Larry Johnson.
Right.
But there was a point in time, Priest Holmes had as much talent as anyone in the NFL.
Priest Holmes was special under Dick Vermeil. He was special. Fantasy beast.
So the reason I bring all that up is, like, I look at the Jordan Mason story and I'm like, I'm looking at the numbers and I'm like, and I said it yesterday, he didn't even run for like 800 yards in any season with
Georgia Tech.
What happened? Oh, Jahmyr Gibbs was there for a couple years. Oh, okay. Okay, well, that makes sense. Jahmyr Gibbs is like a top 15 pick, right? You know, and he's a stud. The scouting to find that guy, and then to bring him in and then develop him a little bit. And they could have lost faith in him. They had other high drafted guys who could have easily been on the pecking order higher than him.
Well, don't forget, he was a running back to ice out the game a couple of years ago on Thursday Night Football against Seattle.
Yes.
In the hat and t-shirt game. He was icing out the game. He was running the ball hard in the fourth quarter. Jordan Mason has shown us flashes here. But how could you supersede Elijah Mitchell after what he did in 2021? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And these are low picks, but no, the story is fascinating as an undrafted free agent. Matt Breida was the same way, undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
And you find these guys. Hey, Bobby Turner and Shanahan know how to find. The one thing we know about the Shanahans and Bobby Turner, they find running backs.
Well, look at who the running back is for the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
Right.
Isaiah Pacheco. No one knew who he was.
Yep.
Right? And so I do think that this position in particular finds these gems that for whatever reason it clicks in the particular system that you're running. I didn't know who Alfred Morris was.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, not at all.
All right. And then all of a sudden he's with Shanahan and you're like, yeah, one of the greatest rookie seasons I've ever seen in my life. Right. So I think that it is sustainable for this guy. No, is he going to run for 170 every week? No. But in terms of being a bruising back who could get you maybe 12 or 1,300 yards in a season, he's got to stay healthy.
Yep.
But in this system, why not?
But here's the other thing, and we haven't brought this up yet, and we do it with everybody else, but we have to do it with Christian McCaffrey. He's the offensive player of the year. He had a lot of touches last year. Baldy mentioned the touches. Next year could be a wash for him. We've done the numbers. Remember DeMarco Murray? He had a monster season, like 487 touches. Next year, he was a shell of himself. The Niners did agree to a two-year extension with Christian McCaffrey at $19 million per year. $38 million.
It's not good.
Right now, I'm guaranteeing you there's a lot of fans who don't want to say it out loud, but they're thinking it. Did we just get hosed? Is this a sucking cost? Is he going to be healthy? We're going to hear more from Dr. Feely on this injury and how long he could potentially be out. But right now, everybody's saying he's doubtful Sunday. I'm going to just say it right now. He's out against Minnesota. He can't play this game.
If I told you to put $1,000 down on one or the other, he plays in less than a month or he plays after week eight, where are you putting your money? Anytime after week eight.
I'd say he plays before week eight, but I don't know if he plays before week four.
Okay, so I think this is a weeks to months injury.
Achilles tendonitis, I don't joke around with, man. This is a serious, serious injury. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it here. I can do a sugarcoat job, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it here. I'm not going to do it. All right, more coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank. 888-957-9570. How concerned are you about Christian McCaffrey? And can the 49ers overcome the loss of the reigning Offensive Player of the Year. 888-957-9570. Niners 1-0 getting ready for Minnesota. They have to probably beat the Vikings without CMC. We'll discuss that coming up. Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
There ain't nothing you can do about it.
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Yee! Who's roasting right now? Big X the Plug is roasting. You know he is. He got nothing but hits. Got the O2 Lakers song, man. That thing goes, man.
Hey, you know, Bonte.
Go ahead.
We had a discussion, Joe Spadoni and I, and he's the resident Italian on the show. I made nice spaghetti last night. Technically, it was like a rigatoni. And I'm just curious, when you are adding like sausage, the homemade sausage, you know, I went to Guerra's and got some sausages, 15 Terrible, my favorite spot. I take the extra step and I remove the inside because I'm going to throw it into a pasta. I remove the casing when I cook the sausage, almost like a patty, so it's crumpled up so that it goes into the gravy, if you will, as I go Tony on you, and so that it's a little better. Do you take that extra step, or are you cooking the sausage whole and then cutting it up?
You know what? We don't even make pasta with sausage. We're not Italians. So when we do the pasta at home, we do quick style.
There's no meat noodles in your gravy?
Yeah, sometimes we go no meat. Sometimes we go no meat. We're trying to lose weight in the Bonte Hill household.
Oh, you got to have the protein. Sometimes we lose a little weight.
Give me the meat. No.
Oh, my goodness.
Pause there. Hey, Willard had another pause at the summit.
Oh, boy.
What's that pause?
What was that? I said it, too, and everybody laughed.
I left it alone because the last time I said
I love the D.
Well, last time, Guru had a pause moment, and I said, hashtag pause, Goo.
That was so funny.
Yeah, so. So this summit, Willard had something, but no, I just do red sauce and I do butter. We don't go all in on especially on a quick night during the week. We don't go all in on the cooking, especially when it comes to the pasta. I am a sausage guy at times. I had a sausage in the press box.
So I had the sweet, and we're gonna get right back into the Niners, but I had the sweet and I had the hot Italian sausage, and I take the time, I take it out of the casing, right? Because you don't want that casing, right?
When
you're throwing it into your gravy. And then I'll fry it in the pan as I'm boiling the water and getting everything ready and heating up my sauce and my gravy, if you will, as they call it, the marinara. Yeah. And you gotta have the meat in the marinara, right? And then I put a little bit of this particular salt in there and some celery. I got a whole process. Gotta have the garlic.
Gotta have garlic. I like garlic. Garlic is good.
You have to have sautéed garlic and onions in anything Italian.
100%.
This might be the greatest smell in the history of kitchens. Just olive oil, garlic, said, onion.
The streets are saying Spadoni is about as Italian as Domino's pizza.
What?
Wow, the streets
that's
are saying
6-5-0,
that?
650.
Are they even Italian? Yeah, I mean, I can't change my last name. It is what it is. I mean, what do they want
I never
to
know
do?
If you guys are Polish, Irish. I get confused.
My mom's side is Polish. My dad's side is Italian.
Oh, there you go.
Let's go.
I'm wearing a Polish national jersey today. Shout out Robert Lewandowski.
Yeah, I know you love that jersey. He's a good player.
He's all-timer. One of the greatest scorers of all time.
He is a great player.
What is that?
That was Guru laughing yesterday.
No way. That sounds like a dog at the door trying to get in.
Laughing at what?
That sounds like my dog, dude. I'm dead serious.
That's not him laughing. Come on. What is that?
What was the joke?
He was laughing at something yesterday.
Guru laughs at a lot of things, so.
What's Spadoni? Shut up. Hey, what is it? I need the Mark Willer pause moment. Nobody save that? He said something, and nobody touched the mic for like 4 seconds. And I think he said pause, and he was like, oh, I got. Wait, do we have it?
I like D also.
Oh, my God.
I like D also.
Oh, let's go to Fat Top in San Jose. Fat Top, what's happening,
what
man?
Name.
You're on the roast. What up, Fat Top?
What's up, bro?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, fellas.
What's up, baby?
Well, I just wanted to comment on something. I'm an old fat cop, and years ago I was on patrol in San Jose, got out to chase a bad guy at 5:30 in the morning at 39 degrees, fell down, couldn't get up. Got up again, fell down, couldn't get up. One of my buddies got there, goes, what's up, bro? I go, I can't walk. Go to the sports medicine guy. There's something called a gastroc Nemius, gastrocnemius. Don't ask me to spell it. That if he said if I did not stretch it and care for it, I could have a limp the rest of my life.
Whoa.
True story. So I haven't heard the gastrocnemius mentioned yet. I'm not a doctor, but I just thought I'd bring it up because it is that critical in terms of what you do biomechanically, walking, jogging, cutting, like Mr. McCaffrey. And I just thought I would bring that up and see maybe if there's a doctor out there that can comment on it.
So it's interesting that you bring up, because I'm not saying that I had McCaffrey or I had the same injury. I'm not saying I had the same injury. But Dr. Joe Jaime over at Shift Movement, he's like, dude, you have to stretch out certain parts of your body as you get older. And what people fail to do is they fail to do the stretching of the foot and the calf and the ankle area. And everything gets wound tight, all right? And depending on how you walk and the shoes you have, and you could have shoes it on the soleus and all these different injuries. And what I have done is I now do sitting calf raises, standing calf raises. I do these stretches and stuff. And my foot... it's not perfect, but it's so much better than it was a year or two ago. I am 100% sure that McCaffrey has some of the best doctors on the planet that are giving him a million different stretching exercises, and they're working it out like no other. They did this thing with this metal thing where they massage with this blade type of a thing. I mean, it's painful, but it feels great. And then you do the cupping, and you'll get better eventually.
So what was it? What was the injury Fat Top said?
I've never heard of that one.
I never heard of that one either. You said he was a fat cop. I don't know why I like to say the word fat so much. But Fat Top was talking about some injury there and how he fell out. And I wonder, like, did it have anything to do with the Achilles tendon? Because that thing could go. 888-957-9570. Should our concern level, like, if we did the panic meter, right? We always had the panic meter during Warrior season. Where's your panic level at when it comes to Christian McCaffrey? Where's the panic at? Because I know you, like, we saw the calf early in the training camp, we said, okay, it's going to be off for 2 weeks, but the Niners played it well. They said, hey, look, if there's a game on Sunday, he could play. And I was going by their word. But then last week, all of a sudden, the Achilles gets popped up on the injury report. And it's like, wait a minute, I thought it was just a calf strain. So now it's the Achilles, and he misses Monday Night Football. And he's doubtful to play Minnesota. I'm going to just say he's out against Minnesota. Go ahead.
It was gastrocnemius was what he was saying, which is a muscle, a complex muscle at that, that is fundamental for walking and posture. Mm. So it's like all around your, like if you can imagine your calf, like there's this huge, that whole muscle right there.
Yeah.
I think that's the proper name, the gastrocnemius.
Interesting.
Gastrocnemius.
Well, the more you know.
The more you know. Man, this would be right up my old co-host's alley right here, man. The injury, the medical hour, baby. This is what we're talking about.
He's
going to
have, like, the prosthetic foot, and he's going to start explaining it.
Rest in peace to Dr. Elliot Schwartz, because we would have him on, and he may be the slowest guy ever. He had one line. Hey, Bate, I'm Dr. Elliot Schwartz. I'm in Tennessee. And then he goes off and spills. Matt, you know how Lubnick runs down the hallways and we can hear him like running? We're like, what is that, an earthquake? We had Dr. Elliot Schwartz on one time. Rest in peace. God rest his soul to the Schwartz family. You loved him. Great guy. Great guy for the station. Always fun. Represented was the ace team doctor. But he was on one time. In the interview, you know, it wasn't, you know, he was a little slow. He wasn't long-winded. You know, the Higgin was sprinting down the hallway at the old building, 55 Hawthorne. Who is this on the air? You're losing your listeners by the second. He's sprinting like he had nothing. Lubman's got nothing on the Higgin run. We had Dr. Elliot Schwartz on. Rest in peace, Dr. Elliot Schwartz.
Seriously. 650 is saying to Fat, was it Fat Top
Fat
was
Top,
the name of the cop?
He said Fat Top.
Did he log a 400 donut season last year? And is that why he's having, was he on the cover of the new GTA, the GTA curse?
400 glazed with some sprinkles.
No, you're asking about McCaffrey.
No, that's
you know,
not
you
right.
You know I love the police officers.
It's a fancy way of saying calf muscles.
No, but the thing that I've learned about the foot, and again, I'm not pretending like I know what's going on. See, everyone's different. But how your foot is shaped, how you walk, you know, how much pressure you're putting. Are you a toe walker? Are you a heel walker? Do you drive in? All of these things matter when we're talking about all those muscles in the lower body. And to your point about their hip, you know, Dr. Joe taught me that there's a muscle that goes all the way up through the leg, through the hips. So if you're not opening up your hips, everything gets tight and it's all interconnected. I mean, we've learned this. You know, you hurt your tooth, next thing you know, you got a sinus headache or something, you know, everything's connected. CMC, the big question is very simple to me. What's the risk? What's the reward? We all agree. Boy, he's one of the greatest players in the league. And you got to have him if you want to win a Super Bowl. It feels like, right? To me, there's no guarantee that if he comes back in 7 weeks, that he's all of a sudden magically not going to get re-injured or re-aggravate this thing. I understand that. But the risk isn't worth the reward. So if you ask me, hey, Joe, would you roll the dice and just put them on IR and just bite your lip and say, get right as best you can, and we'll just go from there 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks down the road? Or would you play this week to week? I would probably throw them on IR and just say, get yourself right. Don't try to like rush coming back, because if he gets hurt quicker, his season's probably lost.
Well, here's the deal, though, with that, and there's gamesmanship in play now. When you come out with these injury reports and you want to give a team, you want to at least make that team spend some time prepping for CMC. He goes on the IR, like, look, CMC ain't playing, so we don't have to worry about this, right? It's probably a small, minuscule thing. It is. But I think the Niners are playing a gamesmanship role and said, hey, he could play next week. He may not play next week. Just to put it into the opponent's mind and say, we got to worry about CMC, D-ball, IU, blah, 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 blah. And maybe that changes some things here. I'm not saying it makes it harder for the other team to prep, but you want to play the gamesmanship and just put it in their minds, like, 23 could play. There's a possibility. But Dr. Feely was talking about this injury. Does it compare to Dre Greenlaw and what he dealt with last postseason with the knee Achilles tendonitis, which ended up going in the Super Bowl? Here's Dr. Feely.
So there's no proof that this is a precursor to something serious. So when you look at the literature, does Achilles tendonitis lead to an Achilles tendon rupture? There's no proof for that. The problem is in the literature, it means you're looking at the average normal person with Achilles tendonitis and Achilles tendinopathy. We're not talking about people that are 7 feet tall and jump for a living, or 6'1", 195 pounds, and run through a defensive line. So I think in general, we can assume that it's low risk that he's going to get a more serious injury, but we can't rule it out just because the demands on the professional athlete at this level are so much higher than what we typically understand for everyday people.
So how should the Niners handle McCaffrey's workload moving forward? Here's Dr. Feely with Willard and Dibs.
I think when you look at his usage rate last year, he was 18 to 22 touches a game, maybe up to 25. 28 carries for Jordan Mason was the most a Kyle Shanahan player has ever had in a game. So ideally, you have him in the 15 to 20, and I think that's totally reasonable. I think the other nice thing is as soon as you put him out there, even if he's not the first, second, or third option, he's a decoy because he's so good. So I think once he gets out there, he will play. I think the athletic training staff and the medical staff is doing everything right. You take it slow with him now, especially if you're going to win a couple games with his backup. It's a long season. You know, it's hopefully is another season that goes well into February. You want him fresh and you want him feeling as good as possible. And we know all these players don't feel 100% by the end of the year. So you want to conserve him as much as possible for the second half of the year and into the playoffs.
What do you gather out of that, Shasky?
Well, I think his point is a really good one. When you're looking at data, they're talking to, like, oh, the warehouse worker and the USPS mailman who's walking around every single day, talking about, like, does this lead to an Achilles rupture? Well, that individual's not exploding and trying to run through a 350-pound defensive tackle. It's low risk, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. There's just, you never know. It's the body. It's the human body. And I think, as a Bay Area sports fan, it's impossible to not have PTSD regarding Kevin Durant and Dre Greenlaw, knowing what we know now.
Yep.
And knowing how delicate these things can be.
No.
So
was Crabtree Achilles or was he fibula?
No, he had the Achilles.
He had the Achilles,
but
right?
His was training in the off season. Right. But
OCA.
But let's not forget, it was the same foot where he had the broken foot early on. Yep. Okay, and this is why I go back to everything's connected.
He wasn't right too.
No, he had the stress fracture on the foot, which led to him dropping in the draft, and why he wasn't available for the Niners. And then a couple of years later, same leg, ended up exploding on him. So I'm not. Are you surprised by that?
No, I'm not surprised by that. I'm not surprised by that at all. Again, I drove in today, Roasters, 888-957-9570. I've already, in my mind, I'm looking at week 2 against Minnesota, and I'm looking at the rest of the 2024 season, and I'm saying to myself, whatever number 23 Christian McCaffrey gives me is a bonus. I'm not expecting much from Christian McCaffrey this season with this injury. It's not good. It's just not good. I'm not trying to be worried, but we watched Kevin Durant, and he took, basically that injury happened, Game 5 against the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his calf strain. He's going to be out 3 weeks, so he misses the entire Western Conference Finals. He misses the first 4 games of the NBA Finals. And when he was warming up, because, you know, some people snuck into Scotiabank Arena or we leaguing around, watching him warm up by himself, and security looked up and said, "Hey, hey, hey!" Cats are running out of the gym. Not going to name names, but
he was in the tunnel doing Riverdance.
Yeah.
He looked incredible.
No, he looked awesome. But I remember how surreal it was to watch him. And then that first quarter happened. I'm like, boy, he's handling the ball too much, man. I don't. It's not moving great. You know, he's out there great. He's got the great shot, but he's bringing the ball up 94 feet. And Pascal Siakam is full court pressing him, and it went. And you knew right away. It's like, damn.
I know.
Damn. And so, yes, PTSD from the Achilles, that's one injury you just don't mess around with.
No.
That is right there. It's worse than hamstring. It's worse than, I mean, this is bad.
No,
it is. This is bad. So, in my mind, I've already put Chris McCaffrey to the side. I'm saying I have enough offensively to compete with the Eagles, to compete with the Lions. Is McCaffrey a big-time loss? Absolutely. He's the offensive player of the year. Could have been the MVP of the league.
It's on the cover of Madden, right?
With Madden curse. I know everybody's going to bring that up. But I'm moving on for this year. If Christian McCaffrey gives me anything, great. Awesome. But I'm moving forward thinking that this might be a lost year with CMC.
There's been times where injuries have happened in Bay Area sports. And not that it's a blessing in disguise, but it opens up opportunities for others, right? Are the Giants better without Matt Cain? No, but he had shreds of bone stuff in his elbow, and he had to miss almost the entire 2014 season.
Yep.
Now, they went on to win the World Series, all right? There's been times where I think about, like, the Golden State Warriors. David Lee gets injured, and that opens things up for Draymond Green.
Right.
So this is a great opportunity for Jordan Mason and other guys.
I think Isaac Garrido, this rookie, you got to get ready to roll. Because we know Shanahan's not afraid to play rookies. He's not afraid. He don't care where you were drafted at. If you could play, you could play. So I would say Isaac Garrido, get your groin right, get your hamstring right. Get ready to roll. You may have to get a few carries. He got 3 snaps last week. You know damn well they're not going to give Jordan Mason 28 carries against Minnesota on a short week. So Isaac Garrido, Patrick Taylor Jr., Deebo Samuel, be ready to roll out the backfield.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Deebo. So they went with this formation, and I drew it on paper. This formation where, like, the running back in the day, the pro set would have the fullback on the one side of the quarterback and then the running back on the other. That was the old Bill Walsh West Coast offense pro set. They had him offset. They handed him off the ball, Deebo Samuel, that was, almost every time from this single back formation. I think they're setting things up. Moving forward, they gave just enough on tape to be able to get those isolation plays where Deebo is in the backfield as a quote-unquote running back so that he can line up against those linebackers and safeties in the way that CMC did. And I know everyone lost their mind because it was week 1. I don't want to see Deebo between the tackles. I think you have to do it just enough to create advantages in the passing game for Deebo out of the backfield. Yep. And now that gives me an opportunity as I look at a 3 wide receiver set here to get a Jacob Cowings on the field, to get a Ricky Pearsall on the field as a true wide receiver.
Yep.
I think that they're going to have to showcase the creativity of Kyle Shanahan. This is where, Kyle, you're making $20 million a year. Now's the time, my friend.
This is on Kyle, and this is on Brock Purdy. This is on Kyle, and this is on Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy is better, and you have the right quarterback for this situation to keep these guys rolling. 888-957-9570. The concern level about Christian McCaffrey, as the segment was sponsored by Go to Say Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToSayLumber.com. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HU1 San Francisco. Not a